Normally when you build a house, you obsess over the blueprint.
Right, exact layout, the material.
Exactly. But if you take that perfect foundation and pour it into a swamp, I mean, the blueprint is totally irrelevant. The sinking mud is going to dictate the structural integrity.
Yeah, and that physical seepage is, well, it's exactly how environmental conditioning works on the human brain.
Oh, 100%. Welcome to today's deep dive, everyone. As your guides, I'm coming at this as a psychology professor.
And I'm looking at the neuroscience of how we think.
Right. And today, we are prepping you for the heavy lifting in day 6 of week 16. We're applying Law 16, which is all about keeping true friends who model traits you actually want to emulate.
Because you can have the perfect blueprint for who you want to become. But if your social environment is a swamp, those behaviors literally seep into your neural architecture.
Well said. So today is your weekly self-audit. And as a psychologist, I have to emphasize the absolute need for total honesty here.
Yeah, no hedging.
Right, because self-audits are where cognitive dissonance just thrives. We instinctively want to soften our answers to protect our egos.
Mm.
But remember, no one else is ever going to see this workbook.
And from a neurological standpoint, if you try to soften the blow, you are actively firing the exact neural circuits you're trying to dismantle.
Wow, really? So it's not just about being honest with yourself emotionally.
No, it's biological. Synaptic plasticity works both ways. Every single time you rationalize keeping a toxic friend around, you actually strengthen the neurological pathway of that excuse.
That is terrifying. But, okay, let's look at the actual audit. Question one asks, what version of you has your current inner circle made easier to become?
Which goes right back to emotional contagion and mirror neurons.
Right, because we subconsciously mimic the people around us.
Exactly. We're wired to synchronize with the emotional baselines of our closest peers. So if you spend all your time with people who, you know, default to complaining, your brain is burning immense calories, just fighting off the biological urge to mimic them.
Which naturally brings us to question two. Who do you already know you should spend less time with?
That's a tough one to face.
It is, but it's not about judgment. It's just recognizing which environments feed the outdated version of yourself.
So, since we're demanding raw honesty from the listener today, I think we should put this into practice.
Oh, boy. What do you have in mind?
I'm putting you on the spot. Wait, actually, ask me question three first. Let's do this live.
Ah, okay, brave. Here is question three. Where have you been blaming the influence of others while still choosing to give them easy access to your time and habits?
Ouch. Okay, for me, it's definitely my academic group chat.
Oh, I know those threads. They never sleep.
Right. I complain all the time that it destroys my focus, but I refuse to mute it because of this, like, primal need to belong to the tribe. I'm choosing the illusion of safety over my own cognitive focus.
That is painfully relatable.
Yeah. Well, my turn to reverse the spotlight. Let's look at question four. Who models a trait you desperately need more of? And what would actually change if you spent more time with them?
Okay, fair enough. There is a colleague in my department who operates with just elite machine-level time management.
Oh, the type who never takes work home.
Exactly. It's intimidating. But if I spent more time mirroring those boundaries, I'd probably stop rationalizing my own late-night greeting sessions as, you know, necessary dedication.
And that transition right there, that's the whole core of this audit.
Which perfectly sets up question five. What specific change in your social environment makes the next version of you easier to build? You don't just identify the swamp.
Right. You have to actively place yourself in the path of better models.
And finally, question six is about reviewing your bedtime questions. What answers, dreams, or unexpected thoughts surfaced this week?
I love this one because it's where your subconscious does the heavy lifting.
Break that down for us. How does seeding a question before sleep actually work?
It's pure neurobiology. During sleep, your hippocampus is consolidating memories. When you seed a question before bed, you're giving your brain a targeted search query to run while it processes the day. It digs up these gold nuggets of insight you haven't consciously reached yet.
That is just incredible. So for the listeners, let your brain do its job today. Stay disciplined.
Absolutely.
You need to review your customized stack 3 times today. That is your 3 code rewrites, your 3 distill points, and your 2 quotes.
And do not forget tonight's bedtime question.
Seriously, don't skip it. But also, rest up, because tomorrow is going to be a light and easy day designed to transition us right into the next law and module.
Just remember, you can't always change the dirt. But you do have absolute control over where you build a house.
I love that.
I'll leave you with this. If human neurobiology fundamentally forces us to adapt to our environment, Who are you inadvertently programming yourself to become tomorrow, based solely on who you choose to text today?